Well, happy Easter again. A very warm welcome to St. Paul's Brewer Street. Maybe it's your first time here, you're returning, or you're one of the hundreds of people joining us online this morning. We're so glad that you're all here. I have something peculiar to tell you. There was this man. He was arrested by the police. They stripped him, and then they tortured him. First, they tortured his hands, and then they tortured his feet. Later on, he was stabbed right between the ribs. It probably perforated his right lung, maybe also his pericardium, also his heart. He died. He was then wrapped in over 100 pounds of cloth, and then he was buried. He was dead. Not like in The Princess Bride, when Wesley says, "Your friend here is only mostly dead." There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. This man, he was all dead. And the peculiar thing that I must tell you is that this man was dead. He was brought back to life. He's alive. Like, not mostly alive, but alive, alive. He's alive in the literal and physical sense. And it's going to get even stranger. I'm going to stretch the bounds of credulity here, because this man who was maimed, he's magnificent. This man who was oppressed, he is omnipotent. This man who was dead and is now alive, he's the butchered God. And on this beautiful Easter morning, we're not going to mock God and pretend this was some metaphor. No. 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth in Israel was crucified. He was buried. And then by the mighty power of God the Father, he was raised to life again. Now, of course, in the wonderful diversity of people here today, there's going to be a variety of reactions to this, just like there were on that first Easter morning. Some are going to be like the little five-year-old boy whose father was driving him to church on Easter morning, explaining to them what Easter is. Remember, kids, this is the day we celebrate Jesus coming back from the dead, and right away from the back seat his son. Great! Will he be in church today? And others are going to be like what the historian Luke recorded. Some are going to respond with fear. Others are going to respond with doubt and dismissal. The first men who heard about the resurrection, they dismissed it as an idle tale. But the reason I'm a Christian is that Easter has made sense for me of my complicated life. And Easter has helped me understand the world that I have to live in, a world that has both horror in it and a world that has beauty in it. American philosopher Francis Schaeffer said that for something to be true, it has to pass a credibility test. And for true, it's got to be one, non-contradictory. Like, it actually has to line up with observable facts. And two, it has to have the power to change things, to change people's lives. And as peculiar as Easter is, it passes that credibility test. Because Easter has facts to face, and it has experiences to have. It has a life to experience. So a few facts. A man who wasn't mostly dead, 3 days after his burial, no one could find his body. The women who went in the early morning light to anoint his decomposing corpse with spices, they found a tomb with no body in it. And when people started going around saying that Jesus had been raised from the dead, there were no grave robbers or resurrection deniers who came out triumphant with the corpse. And the first people to, one, see an empty tomb, two, encounter divine messengers telling them that Jesus was alive, and then three, actually speak to the butchered God back from the dead, they were all women. And if women today still struggle to be believed, the only reason there was a furor over Kate Middleton's prolonged absence from the public eye is because people began to doubt the veracity of her initial public statement about her surgery. If women today still struggle to be experienced as authoritative, it is no surprise that 2,000 years ago, neither the Jewish nor the Roman courts allowed women's evidence to be admissible. So if you were making this up to get people on board with some agenda that you have, you would never have the women as eyewitnesses. And the only reason the gospel writers bothered to name these women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, Salome, a highly inconvenient fact is that they actually were the first eyewitnesses. Their names function like footnotes. The historian Luke is saying, look, if you doubt me, go check my original sources. Talk to them yourself. And some of you here, you're facts people. And skeptics are welcome at St. Paul's. And Easter wants to engage with your critical thinking. Because the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead is a paradigm-shattering historical event. So Easter gives us some facts to examine. And it gives us a life to experience. My life's complicated, so's yours. And the city and world in which our lives have to play out, it has both horror in it and it has beauty. What are we to do with that fact? The divine messengers, they reminded those terrified women how Jesus had told them that he'd be crucified on the third day and then raised from the dead. The penny began to drop. The resurrection began to make sense about what had happened 2 days ago on Friday. On a cross, someone they knew had been butchered. Someone had submitted to all the pain and horror of the world. Someone had taken what is ours. Our sin, our shame, our guilt. Someone had taken what is ours, and that someone had bled. And then on Easter Day, the resurrection reveals that that someone was God's own son. That when Jesus was raised, the conquering hero back from the fight, victor over sin and death, vindicated by God the Father, raised in dazzling beauty on the third day, when Jesus was raised, we saw how the same person who had taken what is ours is now going to give us what is his. The horror of this world. You know it, I know it, we all experience it. But at Easter, Jesus holds and absorbs that horror while giving us such beauty. Beauty we can fleetingly experience in this earthly life with far more beauty to come. Now, I don't often quote Marilyn Monroe, but as I walked past Tiffany's recently, this was in their windows. I think love is the most important thing that can happen to you. Marilyn Monroe, you know what? She's right. But without the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we cannot live in a world where the experience of love is either guaranteed or permanent. Why? How does the resurrection guarantee that I can experience love? Well, at the minimum, it means that five-year-old, he's going to get his wish. Because the risen Jesus is here now with us, moving and active in our worship. We're going to be fed by him in this holy meal. He's going to be with you as you go home today, back to school, back to the office, back into your homes. And at a minimum, I'll take it, because life is complicated, and that's pretty great. And at a maximum, it means for those who want it, for those who accept what the resurrected Jesus gives, there is an eternal future where we will never be parted from love. Love of our Heavenly Father, love of the Holy Spirit flowing in and around us. And if that doesn't encourage you, if that doesn't excite you, that's only because you're not sure what your future is. But if you knew that because of Jesus, in Jesus, you can look forward to a future where you will never be parted from love, any suffering that you experience in this life, any betrayal, any injustice, in your career, in your relationships, any pain, it can be survived. That certain future makes our uncertain lives livable. You see, the resurrection, it's like a receipt. It's a receipt that shows the cost of sin, evil, and death has been paid. On that cross, Jesus took what is ours, and now on Easter Day, he's giving us what is his. Like, if you actually go into Tiffany's and buy something, you're going to keep that receipt while you wander around the store. Because if a security guard comes up to you and says, "Excuse me, sir, can I look in your bag?" You're not going to be offended. You're going to smile and say, "Sure, no problem. Here's the receipt. It's been paid." The raising of Jesus from the dead is the mother of all receipts. Evil and death have been paid off. Love is now guaranteed for you to experience. The resurrection not only guarantees love, but it's a love that can be permanent. In every Liam Neeson movie ever, Liam is battling some evil, shadowy cabal, and he's trying to rescue. He's not trying to rescue his house. He's not trying to rescue his investments. He's not trying to rescue his career. What's he trying to rescue? People that he loves. The number one thing we don't want to lose is the people that we love. And so if you tell me that I'm just dust and I'm eventually just gonna blow away with the wind, or that I don't need to fear death, because don't worry, Jenny, you're gonna join the great cosmic circle of life, what you're actually telling me is that everything good that I've worked for in my life and everyone who I love, many of them are here today in this room, they're all gonna be taken away from me, all stripped away. I don't want to become one with the universe. I want love. And the resurrection of Jesus means there is a future that those we love can be part of. A future where whatever you have not had in this life that is good and holy, it will be given to us. Maybe you still haven't found the kind of loving relationships you so yearn for. You'll have it. Whatever pain and suffering has been inflicted on your body will be healed. You're going to be gorgeous. There's nothing that you need that will not be given to you. The resurrection points us towards a future where everything that is beautiful in your life that's been ruined, everything that is holy or good, if it's been taken away from you, it's going to be renewed, it's going to be restored so you can enjoy it forever. And this guarantee of a permanent love, that's what Easter gives us. This is what is going to enable you to sacrifice your time and your money to care for the poor in our city, to speak out against injustice. It's going to be what's going to humble you so that you try to heal the broken relationships in your life, regardless of where the fault lies. Joanna and those Marys, they found the empty tomb on the first day of the week. It was a Sunday, right? Like the first day of the Jewish week. But it was also the first day of a new world. The new world which the resurrection makes possible. It's the new creation we're rejoicing in today. And if you're a facts person, come and examine. Take our Turning to Christ course. It starts in 2 weeks. And if you're an experienced person, and if you'd like to experience a life that is marked by the guarantee of a permanent love, then come and experience the marvelous St. Paul's community, made up of all nations and generations, a community where we're learning to receive all that God wants to give us, making us more like Jesus, which is what we think is going to have the biggest impact on this city. I have something peculiar to tell you. There is a dead man. He's been raised. Happy Easter. Amen.